This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Book of Luke, brothers and sisters. And we've entitled the whole of the book of Luke, the series, A Friend in Jesus. And the main point was to show us that we want to come to Christ not so much as a set of theological ideas in our head, but as a person, as a friend with whom we may have a relationship with. And we saw that as we're looking at Christ and we're following Him and we're realizing that He is a person we can relate to. He is a person we can come to for help. But these past few messages, I've learned something about our relationship with Christ. It's a little bit different than just a buddy that you chum around with, okay? He is a friend. And He is a man and goes through life and experiences life just as we do. He walked this earth. The Bible says He was tempted in every way as we were, yet without sin. But these past few messages, the Lord has opened my eyes and my heart to notice that Christ is a rabbi. And we are His disciples. Look at verse 40 of Luke chapter 6. We didn't really focus on this. Luke chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open. Jesus says this in chapter 6, verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. A disciple is not like his rabbi, not above his rabbi. You see, we're Talmudim. Remember that word? Talmudim, that's the word for disciples. We are His disciples. And so what a disciple does is they look up to their rabbi. And Jesus is saying a disciple is not above the rabbi. The rabbi is up there and we look up to Him. And He looks down and says, come to be where I am. And so we follow Him. That's the way the relationship works with Christ. And so the Talmud, the disciple, wants to mimic the rabbi. Everything the rabbi does, we want to do. The way the rabbi speaks, we want to speak. And as I look in God's word, brothers and sisters, and as I look at Jesus Christ, I realize He handles everything in the right way. Everything He does is done perfectly. Everything He does is done in a right way. When Rabbi Jesus is confronted with temptation to sin, He handles it in a right way. When He's confronted with conflict between His enemies, He handles it in a right way. When He is confronted with people asking Him about doctrine, He's able to discern and respond in the right way with the right truth. When there's a need to those around Him, He is able to serve those around Him in a right way. He knows how to balance it. He knows how to serve in a right way. And so the question is, okay, He's up there. I'm down here. I'm supposed to follow Him. How? How can I be like Jesus? Jesus says, bear good fruit. Okay, that's what we're looking in this morning. Good fruit. What does that mean? Is Jesus giving us a lesson in botany? Well, He's using a parable. That's what rabbis did. They used parables. This wasn't uncommon with this wasn't just something that Jesus did. The rabbis often did this. They often used parables to teach people about the truths and the ways and the word of God. And so this parable is right up my alley. Because you see, I love fruit. I'm a fruity person. Some of you are like, that's what we've been saying. Did you know which tree has the most variety of fruits? It's the pan tree. I don't invent all these jokes. Other people think of most of them, but we can't seem to create a joke about vegetables, and let us know if you think of one. Now, what Jesus is teaching us about this parable, what is he teaching, I should ask? What is he teaching us about this parable? You've got good trees and bad trees. You've got good fruit. You've got bad fruit. So what is he teaching us? Well, first thing we need to find out is, what does Christ mean when he says fruit? What does he mean when he says tree? What are these fruits? What are these trees? And why does he label them good and bad? Well, if you turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5, you'll see exactly what Christ is talking about. And many of us already know this. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul explicitly says that which is meant in the Bible when we speak of fruit. Fruit is a good work. Fruit is something good that we do, something good that we say, something good that is produced in our heart about those around us. And in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So these two forces, the flesh and the Spirit, they're in contrary to one another. They're conflicting with one another. Verse 17, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, verse 19, the works of the flesh are, and it gives a list. That word works, you can substitute the word fruits. The fruits of the flesh, okay? So the bad tree is the flesh. And the fruits of the flesh are the bad fruit, you see? There's a source, the tree is the source, and then there's the fruit, that which the source produces. And so the flesh, a bad tree, produces bad fruit. And what are those fruits? Now the works of the flesh, verse 19, are evident. So they're plain. They're plain to see. They're not obscure. Which are adultery, the first one is the list of the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh. Adultery, you know, when a married man or woman has a relationship with another married man or woman or unmarried and breaks that covenant. Fornication, when two unmarried individuals have a relationship with each other. Uncleanness, when, you know, there's vile thoughts in someone's heart and mind. Or lewdness, when there are vile actions in somebody's life. Or idolatry, when somebody worships something other than God. Or, sorcery, when we engage in spirituality that is anti-God, whether it be New Age stuff or satanic stuff or anything that is anti-God spirituality. Hatred, when we devalue someone in our heart. Or contentions, when we want our way and so we contend with people around us out of an impure motive. Or jealousies, when we see somebody is blessed and we get jealous over them. Or outbursts of wrath when we throw a temper tantrum because we don't get our way, or selfish ambitions when we do what we want to do and not care about anybody else, or dissensions when we want to create conflict to puff ourselves up, or heresies when we believe things that are anti-God and believe things that are against the Bible, or even envy when we desire something that somebody else has in an unrighteous way, or murders when we kill other people or hate people in our hearts. Jesus says that's murder in the heart. Drunkenness when we allow the effects of alcohol to overtake and we're not honoring God with our bodies and our minds. Revelries when a bunch of people gather together to engage in unrighteous behavior and the like. So the list goes on, you know, and the like, dot, dot, dot. So these are the lusts of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh. You kind of get the idea, okay? They're not good things. But contrary to the bad tree and the bad fruit you have in verse 22, but the fruit, listen, he uses the word fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit. This is of the good tree. This is of the good fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay? If you've been in this church for the past month, and you don't know what the word love means, we gotta work on something. We've been focusing on that. The word love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the list goes on. These are the fruit of the Spirit, the good fruit that comes from a good tree. So that's what Jesus is referring to back in Luke chapter 6 when he talks about a good tree and good fruit, a bad tree and bad fruit. So the fruit is good works or bad works. And the tree is of a good source or of a bad source. So that's the first thing we need to learn. The second thing we need to learn is that there is a direct link between the fruit and the tree. This is simple stuff when you think about it, but it's profound. There's a direct link between the fruit and the tree. Look in verse 43. A good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. You see, there's a direct link between the fruit and the tree. You don't ever go into a fruit garden and you see just berries and apples kind of floating in the air around, and you got to catch them when they're in the air. No, they're attached. They're attached to the source. Easy enough. There's a direct link. So with us, there is a link between our works, what we do, whether good or bad, and who we are, the tree. There's a direct link. So the third thing we learn, that's a second. The third thing we learn is that the fruit reveals the type of tree. Look at verse 44. For every tree is known by its fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit. Men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Every tree is known by its fruit. The fruit reveals the tree. And if you think of it, that kind of makes sense. Okay, unless we're experts in botany, that makes sense. You know, back in Rhode Island, where I'm originally from, there was a apple orchard that my family and I, we love to go to every year. Every year we love to go apple picking. We find an apple orchard and we go to this one. We went to this one called Jazwell Farms. And you'd go there and there'd be the pumpkin patch on the side and you'd go around the hill and there it was. It opened up and all these beautiful apple trees just rows of them down, and you go down and you find your favorite kind of apple and you take it and you eat it and you collect them and you go home and make apple pie and you get that delicious apple cider. We love doing this. Jazwell Farms we used to go to. Now imagine you go before the season of apples, before they're produced, before the leaves are on the trees, say, you know, and they're all lined up. Unless you're a real expert in apple trees, you probably don't know which tree is going to produce which flavor of apples, you see? And you have to wait until the time comes and the tree lets the leaves come and the flowers pop open and the pollination, the bees come and they pollinate the flowers and then the flowers turn into little balls and the balls grow and they start turning a certain color. And you've got red, and you've got green, and you've got yellow, and you pick it, and it's golden delicious. And then you've got a red one, and you pick, that's red delicious. And then you take the green one, Granny Smith, you know. And so you say, okay, I've got a Granny Smith apple. I plucked it from a Granny Smith apple tree. That's the kind of tree it is. Or you take the red delicious, and you say, okay, that's a red delicious apple tree. You see, the fruit reveals the tree. And so it is with us. Our works, what we do, reveal who we are. Think of it. The world can't see into our hearts and know our relationship with God. The world can't see into our hearts and know. All they see are our works. All they see is what we do. All they see is the fruit that comes. They reveal who we are. The works we do reveal to others who we are on the outside, on the inside. But that being said, the fourth thing we learn is that the tree determines the fruit. The fruit reveals the tree, but the tree determines the fruit. In verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Now, wouldn't it be odd if I said the stuff that is brought forth good makes the treasure, the tree, good? It doesn't make sense. Or an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the fruit doesn't determine what kind of tree it's going to hang on. The fruit doesn't say to the tree, hey, I'm a Granny Smith apple, so I'm going to make you a Granny Smith apple tree. No, the tree is the source of the fruit. The fruit is what it is because of the nature of the tree. Now, some botanists might be sitting in here going, actually, when you look at the genetic timeline of the growing process from seed to fruit, you actually find that Jesus is using a simple parable for everyday people like us to understand the way in which we are supposed to be like him, okay? He's teaching us. We're little disciples gathered at his feet. He's teaching us these things. He's saying, trees, good tree, bad tree. So with us, the tree determines the fruit. Even though our works reveal who we are, the works don't make us who we are. Our good works don't form us into good people, you see? Our good works don't change our spiritual makeup. So logically following, the fifth point, the good fruit comes from a good source. The bad fruit from bad. And we know this, we covered this. But what's the problem I see here? There's a little bit of a problem I see here. Jesus has good fruits, always. Okay, I mentioned earlier, he handles everything rightly, perfectly. Good fruits. But humans have bad. Jesus is a perfect tree. Probably a Honeycrisp. And we are weeds. Think of it. Jesus is a perfect tree and we are weeds. We are thistles. We are briars, brambles, and thickets, and burrs. We are Venus flytraps, which wouldn't be too bad. It'd be kind of cool, you know, you could catch flies if you wanted to. We're bad trees. We're bad weeds. And we only produce bad fruit. But you may say, Pastor, I go out and I look and I see people doing good things. You know, even though they're not a Christian and they're not born again, I see people doing good things, you know, around me. They're helping people around them. Well, that may be the case, but if it's not done out of the pure motive that comes from serving God, then it ultimately shrivels and it ultimately becomes rotten because it's not done out of that holy, pure motive out of serving God. It may be true that it's a good thing to do to help others, but if it's not done out of that pure motive derived from God, it ends up being rotten fruit in a sense. And the Bible teaches this in Romans chapter 3. If you turn there, in Romans chapter 3, the Bible teaches that all mankind, everyone, produces bad fruit. There is no distinction. As Paul says, I wonder how hard it is to pen, but he says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. It is our nature to be a bad tree, doing good things with selfish motives sometimes. And we're called, Jesus is saying, okay, good tree, be a good tree, bear good fruit. We're called to bear good fruit, but if we're weeds, how can we do that? Think of it. I've told this story many times, and it's really touched me through the years. You've heard it probably before. When my wife and I first moved to Wisconsin, we bought a little property. It was a tiny house, a 250-square-foot home, probably as big as my office. And there was a little yard in the backyard. And in that little yard, we put two little 4x8 raised beds, and we started gardening. This was new to us. We tried it many few years before that, and it just failed miserably. So we were going to try to be serious about this garden. And we started planting things, and we put seeds in, and we were all excited. And then we realized we don't remember where we put these plants. We don't remember the layout of the garden. And so we just hoped for the best. And these plants started popping up, and we don't know what they look like because we're kind of new to gardening, so we don't know what is it. We just have to wait and see. There were some that were obvious, you know, but others we just waited, and there was this, we got tomatoes and all these other plants, and there was this one plant we thought was a pepper plant. We were determined it was a pepper plant, and it grew. It got bigger. We put a tomato cage around it because it was getting bigger, and it was shooting out these branches, and all of a sudden, this plant was letting out these little green balls all over the plant. And we thought to ourselves, this is amazing. We're going to have so many peppers on this plant. That's wonderful. We can take these peppers, we can cut them and stuff them with hamburg, and we can make stuffed peppers with marinara sauce. It's going to be amazing. And then we can put them in the freezer afterwards or whatnot. We're so excited. And as time went on, the plant got bigger, and it got bigger, and it was producing more little green balls. But we started to notice something. The little green balls never got bigger. They never grew. And we thought to ourselves, well, just wait, you know, be patient with the Lord in His good time, and it'll all happen in its appropriate time. And they never got bigger. They just stayed little green balls. The plant got huge, bigger than this thing. It just got huge. All these plants, we just thought, well, maybe in some time. And one day, I was at my coworker slash friend's house, and he owns a farm. And you know how it is on farms, you know, you keep up around the house and the yard around the house, but when you get to the outbuildings and stuff, you know, it's hard to maintain all the things. And there was this one drive into his barn that the cement was cracked. There was a crack in the cement, and in the middle of that crack were these plants. And I looked, and I thought to myself, that's amazing. My friend has a wild pepper plant growing in his driveway there next to the barn. I went, that's a weed. And I got home and I went up to that 4x8 garden bed and I yanked that thing out. I had been cultivating a weed. The weed can't produce peppers. It can't. The genetic DNA won't allow it. And so if we human beings are weeds, how are we going to bear fruit? You see the problem? You see the dilemma? Brings us to our final point. Imagine this. Jesus Christ is the only good tree. He says a good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. Imagine that He is the only tree that bears good fruit, and everyone else is a bad tree. But Jesus is a special kind of tree. Everybody remembers in the book of Genesis, God creates all the earth, and He creates this beautiful garden with all types of fruits and vegetables, and He creates Adam and Eve and puts them in the garden, and in that garden was the tree of life. And Adam and Eve sinned against God, and they were banished from the garden lest they ate the tree, the fruit from the tree of life and lived forever. It was a source of life. And I picture in my mind that Jesus Christ is a picture of that tree of life. Now, everybody knows the process of grafting, right? You take a branch and you cut it and you tie it in. You cut an opening in the other tree and you tie it into the other tree and you wrap it up. And eventually, if the genetic code matches, eventually that branch will take off and it'll start producing fruit, grafting. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the tree of life that will take in any plant. Any plant. And a source of growth will come through him. He is the tree of life. And when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago, his trunk and branches were cut open. And if anybody comes to him by faith, stop trying to produce peppers on their own. What happens is he takes that weed out of the ground and he ties it into himself and he wraps it up in the garments of salvation. And any weed, any plant tied to him will bear fruit. You see, any weed, Venus fly traps, thistles, briars and thorns, attached to Christ, the life source of Jesus Christ will come in through that attached weed and through that, and it will take and change, and beautiful fruit of the Holy Spirit would come. So Jesus says a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. And in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus Christ says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. You see the picture there? When we come to Christ by faith, we're united with him in a divinely mystical way, so that the life force of Christ comes in through us and we are able to bear fruit of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure in his heart produces good fruit. And Jesus is that good treasure. Christian, perhaps you're struggling with this. You want to follow Rabbi. He's up there. You want to follow him. You wake up with a huge list of responsibilities. And you read your Bible and you know, you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do that, and you get out into the workforce, and you, okay, here we go. And you stretch your thistle branch, and you try to bear fruit with weed DNA. It's not going to work. You see, a Christian may be tied into the tree of life, but if the thistle tries to produce fruit through the thistle DNA, it's not going to work. But if you rest in the vine, if you remember that you are abiding in the vine, in the tree of life, the Holy Spirit will fill you like a sap, and it will come in and the power of life and produce fruit through you. And you can live that life. So if we go back, think of it with me, if we go back to our original dilemma as we finish here, as we go back to our original dilemma, Rabbi is up there, Yeshua, doing everything right. Perfectly. And we're supposed to be like him if we abide in him, allowing his power to flow through us, then we absolutely can handle things in the right way. We absolutely can handle things in a good way. But it wasn't us, you see. We don't get any credit at all. We're weeds by nature. It's our DNA. But Christ is that tree of life. Grafted into him, we are transformed. So if you're struggling with something, if you're trying to live that good life, If you're trying to honor Him and handle this current situation in our world in the right way, and handle this current situation in my personal life in the right way, and you say, Lord, how in the world? Abide in Christ and allow His life to flow through you. You won't get any credit, but He will bear good fruit through you. And you will sing, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what Thou art. I am finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart. Have you been grafted in? Are you sure that you are attached to the vine? Or are you a thistle in a religious garden, trying to produce good fruit, but all you're getting is little green balls? I say, stop. Come to Christ, the tree of life. He died on the cross for your sins to pay the penalty that you deserved, because you deserve to be pulled up from the ground, thrown into the fires of hell and burned. But He paid the penalty on the cross. He was cut open for you, that if you come to Him by faith, not trying anymore on yourself, and say, Lord, take me, He will pull you up and He'll graft you into Himself forever to be attached to Him in everlasting life, producing fruit to the glory of God. Have you done that? You can do that now. Bow with me in prayer. Father God, I pray that each of us here this morning would realize the provision You have given us of knowing that You are the vine and we are the branches. And I myself, and perhaps so many of us, have been burdened with trying to do the right thing. And we don't realize the holiness and power of God Almighty is available for us if we would just rest in You. Help us, Father God. If anyone is listening who wants to be grafted in, may they come to You now. May they come to You now, Lord. And may they join with us in creating a beautiful tree of life for the world to partake in. Bless us, Father, as we go into this world, and help us to be good trees because we're attached to the tree of life. Help us to bear good fruit to glorify our Heavenly Father. I pray in His name. Amen.